I was preparing for the children's story.
Yeah.
And the story was about sequoia tree. Uh-huh. And then the thought came that they really never ever looked at the trees that the Bible talks about, and it's quite a different place from the trees in the Bible, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Hello? Yeah? It's the same like Friday. It's all the same problem change. Okay, I will send it then. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, it's good. I can't get access.
That's okay. So yeah, I would like to talk about trees in the Bible.
That's quite a subject, isn't it? Yeah.
So this is what I could just start from the beginning. Okay. I'll ask you a question.
Carry on in the meantime.
Yeah. So how many times word tree in the Bible is mentioned, do you think? How many times?
Oh, I'm interested. Oh, wow.
Must be at least 66.
No, more than 66. It's almost the same number as word truth. So, it's 232 times.
What?
Yeah. I could that. Nice to see you. You're muted. We can't hear you.
I don't know what happened to my system. I tried and it. It's like a.
Okay.
And that wasn't
right. You don't need it. But you've got it already.
Yeah, I've got it now. Well, it has worked this time.
So we're talking about. Claudette, we're talking about trees in the Bible.
Yeah.
So I was asking how many times word tree is mentioned in the Bible.
That's
and the number is 232.
Ooh, I was just going to say it must be a lot.
Yeah, it's almost the same number as the word tree is mentioned in the Bible. Huh. Okay, so other than the people and God, the trees are the most mentioned living things. 232 times. And then you go through the Bible, we can see the Bible starts with a description of the tree and finishes the tree. In the Genesis chapter 2, verse 9 and 15, I would like to read with you. Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. Ready? Okay, in this garden, God not only placed trees for food, but also ornamental trees, most beautiful to look at. In the middle of this garden, God placed the tree of life, and not far distant, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, by which he would test man's love and loyalty. Under verse 15. God placed man in this special garden called the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it beautiful. So as you can see, the Bible starts of creating a garden with the beautiful trees, ornamental trees, and the trees for the food. And we have two trees, the tree of knowing good and evil, and the tree of life as well. And the Bible finishes with another tree, well, actually the same one that was described in Genesis. If you open Revelation chapter 22, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 2, Claudette, if you don't mind to read for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Revelation 22,
verse 2.
Give me a second. Revelation 22, verse 2 says to us, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded a fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations.
Thank you. So we see that God really likes trees. And it's trees in the center in the Garden of Eden, and tree in the center in the Holy City. I guess even the God's throne is faced to this tree. So yeah. And also we have lots of stories in the Bible that are related to trees. And can you remember any Bible stories related to the tree or the trees?
I just saw a verse. I'm going to see what it says. It's Ezekiel 47 verse 2.
Which book?
It says, I think it's 40, Ezekiel 47 verse 12, not 2. And it says, along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kind of trees, used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruits will not fall. They will bear fruit every month, because their water flows from the sanctuary. And their fruits will be for food, and their leaves for medicine. Very interesting.
God uses trees to educate and uplift people and heal them, and yeah, it's very significant really, the Raymond, you okay?
Yes.
Okay. So do you remember any Bible story related to the trees?
Is there a Bible story where the trees walk?
Yeah, there was a blind man who Jesus healed, and when he saw and said, oh, I can see people walking like trees.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
There is another scripture where the cross is referred to as a tree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about, okay, I have a long list of the stories. So, and it's really every significant event in the Bible is marked by a tree, a branch, a fruit, or seed. For example, when Adam and Eve made, when they sinned, they used fig's leaves to cover their nudity. Then Noah, when he was checking if the water is low, he received the olive leaf from a dove. Then Abraham, he was sitting under oaks of Mamre when Jesus with two angels came before they ruined, destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm. Yeah, do you remember the story? Or do you want to read it? It's in Genesis 18 verse 1.
I'm going to read it.
Okay, Genesis 18 verse 1.
1 minute, let me get it. And it says, then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth tree of Mamre, trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day.
It's when Jesus came and said that Sarah will have a child in a year, and she was barren. Then we have Moses who saw the burning bush. I don't know whether the bush or the tree. Also, it's the beginning of exile of Israel from Egypt. Then we have a story about Zacchaeus who climbed the sycamore tree. And then we have the Mount of Olives, where all disciples is gathered together with Jesus, and where Jesus was praying before his crucifixion. Then Apostle Paul was saying that if you walked in the woods, so you know. have no excuse for not knowing God, because through the nature, we know the God. We know the God. Mm-hmm. Nature shows God's wisdom and love and creativity. And also we can...
Is that 11, 17 to 18?
Yeah, I copied, but I didn't check what was the...
There's a reference that you know in Jude 12, and the title is Apostate, Depraved, and Doomed. And it says there, these are spots in your life, peace, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the wind, like late autumn trees without fruit, pulled up by the roots. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, we know that Jesus, like you, Hilma, said, that is also carried cross the big pieces of wood and where he was crucified as well.
The last book you mentioned was Romans 11, verse 17 to 18.
Ah, yeah. Thank you, Romans, okay.
So there's lots of kind of trees I mentioned. I think it was like over 30 kind of trees, but these ones I found in the Bible. It's about almond, there was almond tree, and then apple tree in Song of Solomon, we're talking about the beauty of husband, chestnut and fir, cedar, myrtle and oil.
The cedar of Lebanon, no, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Then the Lord mentioned the mustard tree seed and the cursed fig tree. Fig tree, I want to talk a little bit about fig tree.
That was a curse when Jesus said, came back for fruit and he was hungry. Something like that. And he cursed the fig tree because there was no fruit in it.
True, yeah. We'll come back to this later. So, fig tree, we know that definitely this tree was in a Garden of Eden.
Mm.
The first, it was mentioned in Genesis, because Adam and Eve made the cover for the immunity. And fig tree can survive for 200 years.
Wow.
And it can bring two or a fig tree is a representation of Israel's nation and its prosperity or you can find it in Deuteronomy. You can open Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 8 to 10.
Deuteronomy?
Yeah. Chapter 8.
8 to 10?
Yes, please.
Okay, I'll read it. It says, a land of wheat and barley and wine and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee.
It's talking about the promised land that God promised to Israel. So fig tree is very important in this description as well.
Mm-hmm.
Also we have in 1 Kings chapter 1:25.
I got that. So
sorry?
Shall I read it?
Yeah, you can read it, yeah.
It says that during Solomon's lifetime, Judah and Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, lived in safety, every one under their own vine and under their own fig tree.
Yeah. So, vine and fig tree is So why Jesus cursed the fig tree? If you read Mark chapter 11, you know the story, don't you?
Yeah.
Mark 11, 12 and 14.
Okay. Mark 11. Uh-huh. What's the verse?
12 to 14. And
20 to 21. Mm-hmm. William, Mark 11, verse 1. You want me to read?
Yes, please.
12 to 14. The fig tree withered. Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he could find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to him, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciple heard it.
Okay, and then 20 and 21.
Shall I continue?
Yes, please.
Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever you think you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them."
Thank you. So, this story says that it was spring, because he's coming early in the morning. It was a springtime, and he was hungry. So he saw that the tree had lots of leaves, and he thought that it's going to have fruit. The fig tree is, like I said, it has either two or three times, you know, bearing the fruit.
Mm.
The first harvest is taken early spring, almost before the leaves like start shooting from the. Like you see in the picture, can you see the picture?
Yeah.
Yeah, but when these little fruit they start growing in winter, and they fall off when the second crop is starting growing. So this first fruit is not really edible, but Jesus was looking for this fruit, because this fruit indicates that the tree is like fruitful. And if you have this fruit, so it means you will have fruit in summer as well. So Jesus saw that this fig tree didn't bring any crops, so that's why he cursed it, because it was also the definition of the Israelite people who show that they are religious, but they are empty, they don't bear fruit, like Mary said.
Hmm.
Yeah, so that's why he cursed, and obviously he cursed the people who don't bring fruit. So that's why fast is important, not to be only religious, but bring fruit. Otherwise, we will get it. Jesus cursed this big tree and he did it. Okay. What lesson we can learn from trees? Because God mentioned so many times trees in the Bible. So what we can really learn as a tree? It really has lots of like lessons for us. course. For example, we can learn patience, strength, cooperation, and healing. We can stand tall if we're rooted in Lord. We need rest, like Jesus gave us Sabbath. We need honesty, like those trees who drop their leaves for the winter. And we have to be living unbonded, freedom from the world. Okay.
It can be powerful as well, no? A tree can tower over, feed like Nebuchadnezzar was feeding all the birds.
And I was just going to say also, I mean, there's a lot of things you put in there that means it provide a lot of fruits.
True, yeah.
And there are a lot of fruit that us as trees that God has put us to be able to bear, isn't it?
That's true. And trees communicate to each other. Scientists have proved it. They have a scientific proof that they communicate through the root system to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They say good morning.
Yeah.
But you know, there was, we talk about trees as plants.
Mm-hmm.
I remember watching on, there was this thing about plants on the television. And this guy was showing all his plants. You know, he was like in his 20s, 30s, in between.
Mm-hmm.
And they were asking him, how come your plant grows so green and this and that? How much water? He said, oh, no. And I get up in the morning, first thing I do, I say good morning to every plant. I just want to go around the plant. And then I got the damp cloth and wipe all the leaves. I said, that must be all their work. He said, no, not what they're used to you. I thought it's comical, but there you go. You know, talk to your plant and your tree.
It's proven scientifically that plants they react to the voice.
Mm.
They react to the I can't remember now, but yeah, there is, you know, it's, for some people it looks funny that you're talking to plant, but it really has impact on the plant.
Mm.
And well, I don't know, truth or not, but those who come from death, who had vision of heaven, I don't know if it's true or not, but they say that Everything in heaven is alive, and they talk to each other.
Mm.
So we don't know really, you know, so much about the nature. So it's really a powerful thing God created for us. So what trees represent? Represent life, growth, provision and beauty, God's family and kingdom. Like Nelly mentioned, that Nebuchadnezzar dream, he dreamt a tree, was a representation of kingdom, of his kingdom. And also trees represent God's family and beauty and life.
When God planted trees, that was because, you know, he knows he was going, for Adam and Eve. He planted trees for Adam and Eve, for their good, for their welfare. One, they get fruit from it. Two, they care for the trees, they get busy, they get it, they enjoy it.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything with it. But when you look at it today, how much care do you have to protect yourself from the trees?
Yeah, I know.
Even from the grass.
I can't remember where exactly, but I know it's in the book of Deuteronomy, where God says that Israelites, when they get to new places, when they occupy new places, new towns, they should not cut down the trees.
Fruit trees, they said, didn't they? Fruit trees, yeah.
Yeah, and use the fruit, yeah.
I would say that trees speak to all of us in so many ways, you know. And I have experienced the beauty and the satisfaction that the trees give you when you come up north and look at all the trees that are around, so different, and the beauty and, you know, the message they give you. It's really, really so touching.
Yeah. We have little woods just across the road where I live. And I used to go, when I didn't have a job, every morning I woke up and used to go for walks. Mm-hmm. And it's such a magnificent and big, tall trees, and it really uplifts you and really affects you, and you just thinking of how wonderful God is to create this kind of wonderful, like, living things. And Jesus himself, he said that, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser.
Mm-hmm.
We can't live without, we are like a branches. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is the one to be like Jesus. And in Psalms 1:3, we read that, like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season. This way, the real Christian should be like trees planted by the streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season. Jesus' last I am statement is, I am the root and descendant of David. It's the fruit from David. And the last slide. The wisdom of the Bible is a tree of life. It's in the Proverbs, chapter 3:18. So we can see from all that I've showed here that trees takes a really significant place in the Bible. And God uses trees for many things for people.
But it's interesting how we, as a human, population, you know, as we break the Sabbath, generally now, because the Sabbath is not worshipped as it is, because Sunday becomes the last day of the week instead of Saturday. But if you look at trees, places like Indonesia and all these places where there is rainforest, and many of the people, what they call them? And then they go, well, they go there illegally and chop the trees to sell it for lots of money. And then when the rain came, they were saying that's why there is flooding, or because the roots are not there to hold the roots are not there to hold the soil.
That's true.
So when it rained, it just went down like and take whatever it can on its way, because there's no trees to protect. So.
Yeah, because the balance of the nature is broken. The humanity, they continues doing that. So, yeah, the trees, the water, everything, you know. And, yeah, I find trees very helpful for me. For example, when Sabbath comes, it's just enough to look at the tree and this silence and magnificence, and you can see God in trees,
mm-hmm.
creations. It really helps to concentrate on God. I don't know what about you.
I would say it does bring a big message to many people, you know. I'm saying that having been in an area that you see so many trees and different types, mm-hmm. and the beauty and the protection also that you see that the trees give, you know, it's a great blessing.
Yes. So, yeah, that's what I wanted to talk today, just to look from different perspectives in the trees in the Bible. I never paid attention that trees is so important. I knew there was tree, like a tree of, but I didn't know that it's mentioned so many times, and that the stories, or most of the stories, are related to the trees, and significant events are related to the trees. So yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Virginia.
Yes.
I will tell you an experience.
Please.
We were in New Zealand.
Right? And when the coach, the driver was showing us the forest. And he says, very often you get the fire on the tree. The trees get burnt.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, the trees don't get burned, just get burned. It's like renewing the forest. And he says, how they know? When the trees burn, it becomes black, like charcoal.
Mm-hmm.
Wait for the new, fresh leaves to come. If it's become white, that tree is dead.
Okay.
Which means it won't grow. Or what they were trying to say, this is the way the forest get renewed. They get the vigor back.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing has to be destroyed, get destroyed, but the new leaves come, and it's the fire that does it. We listen to Mark Crucible.
Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. When I was preparing for the children's story, I prepared the story about the sequoia.
Mm-hmm.
Is it sequoia? Yeah, sequoia. It's very significant, you know. This sequoia, they can spread their seeds only when they're in a fire.
Mm-hmm.
So when they burn, they not really burn because they protected this tannin, mm-hmm. called tannin, which protects from fire. They can burn, but they will not burn inside. They are protected.
Mm-hmm.
And when the cocoons of the sequoia got heat, they like shoot the seeds, so that's the way they grow.